It took more than a year, but Somalia finally has a new parliament. MPs are sworn in after a drawn-out election. Can they tackle the country's challenges? And how will they deal with tensions between the prime minister and the president? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. It was an election where most people didn't get to vote, but one that the international community said was needed for stability in Somalia. Leaders from powerful clans, civil society organizations, and regional officials picked more than 270 MPs for the new national parliament. They've been sworn in more than a year behind schedule. There were disputes about a complex electoral process as well as tensions between the prime minister and president. Parliament's first task is to choose a new speaker and president. It's all happening as the United Nations warns Somalia's worst drought in decades could trigger another famine. Malcolm Webb reports.
It's taken more than a year and cost dozens of lives to get to here, the appointment of Somalia's new parliament. About 250 MPs and 50 senators have been sworn in a ceremony in the capital, Mogadishu.
Today is a great day, and we hope that this will be an opportunity for Somalis in general and also for the Somali government.
This man, the Prime Minister, Mohamed Hussein Roble, has been in charge of the process. His supporters say he managed to make it happen against stiff resistance. He's been at odds with the president, Mohamed Abdullahi Farmajo, who's seeking another term but didn't attend the swearing-in ceremony. Farmajo's critics and opponents say he's been stalling the process to try and stay in power. Most Somalis didn't get to vote. Clan representatives selected MPs in a series of closed-door meetings. Everyone involved says buying of votes is widespread. The new MPs are due to elect the next president in the coming weeks. Farmajo had promised to organise elections where all Somalis get to vote, but he didn't fulfil his pledge. The whole process has been widely criticised.
It's indirect selection that actually brought a race to the bottom selection process that lacks integrity and credibility. So unless there is a strong rule of law and election law, Somalia will be in this, what we've seen for the past few months and the last year is absolutely unacceptable and not to be repeated again.
A handful of seats in parliament remain open after electoral officials nullified their selection processes over irregularities. Mortars were fired towards Mogadishu's green zone as the other MPs were preparing to be sworn in inside. The armed group Al-Shabaab is opposed to the government and said it would target the elections. It claimed responsibility for this attack in the city of Beledweyn last month that killed an MP and another parliamentary candidate, as well as several other attacks. Factions of the army fought the police in Mogadishu last year when yet another election delay was announced and President Farmajo tried to extend his term in office. Somalis are now waiting to find out who will be elected the next president and if there'll be more bloodshed before Somalia has a new government. Malcolm Webb, Al Jazeera.
All right, let's go ahead and bring in our guests in Mogadishu. Zainab Hassan, founder and executive director of the Somali Gender Equity Movement. In Nairobi, Afyare Ilmi, Somali political scientist and executive director at the Heritage Institute for Policy Studies. And in Oslo, Stig Jarl Hansen, professor in international relations at the Norwegian University of Life Sciences. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Zainab, let me start with you today. How significant is it that Somalia has now inaugurated these lawmakers? How big a breakthrough does this constitute?
Somalis are very excited about the inauguration of the parliament, despite, you know, the electoral process and the long time it took, as well as all the electoral, you know, impasse and political shenanigans that has been going on. At least it signifies that the country is moving forward. So the parliament can, and now that it's there, is where in, they can elect their leadership, the parliamentary leadership. and then, you know, elected the president. So the Somali government can start working and moving forward. So, yeah, it is very significant. It's the pillar of the institutions of Somalia. And it's actually very important that at least that we do have a sworn in parliament, because the mandate of the current federal government has in February 7th, 2020, so over a year, you know, it was a caretaker government and couldn't handle many things, including the electoral process. So it has been quite a challenge. So it's really exciting that we see a parliament that finally is sworn in. So thank you for the questions, and I want to thank Al Jazeera.
Afiare, the fact that these new lawmakers were inaugurated, does that indicate to you that the prolonged political turmoil in Somalia may at last be coming to an end?
I agree with Zainab, actually. This is a very important date and a big milestone that Somalia has achieved. What you can see now is that the responsibility shifted from the divided executive between the prime minister and the president to a new parliament that can now steer the country to a different direction. And I think this should be welcomed and applauded. That doesn't mean the process was good. It doesn't mean it came on time. But at least now we have the most important pillar, which can create other branches of the other institutions, at least the presidency, and eventually give the confidence to a new prime minister. So what we have been longing for quite a while has arrived, albeit late.
Stig, from your vantage point, how will the swearing in of these new members of parliament affect the tensions that have been ongoing between the president and the prime minister?
I think the tension will still be there. It will be there for us quite a while before you have the finalization of the selection of the new president. So there will be a tension. There will be a lot of bargaining in the new parliament now. There will be monies shifting sides. It will be a lot of attempts to make alliances and to position them various candidates in relations to the new MPs. So there will be a lot of ongoing corridor politics, including actually the use of money and bribes.
Zainab, there's a lot of pressure right now from the public on parliament for them to act quickly, to elect a new president. Is that something you foresee happening in a relatively quick amount of time?
I think, I mean, considering the history of Somalia, once the parliament is sworn in, they are appointing mainly the committee that will prepare the election of the president. So I'm assuming and we are hoping, and they know that the public is actually waiting this for quite a long time. It should have happened long ago. So I'm assuming that, and I think it will be really, it won't have a lot of dragging in the political process, because now the responsibility is on the parliament to deliver, mainly to elect the president. So that's their job. There are only a few seats that is left, and hopefully, you know, the Gedo, 16 seats in Gedo region, which is still has been quite challenging. But now that feed, I mean, at least declared that it will be held in Ailwaq, another city rather than Galbahari, I think things will go smoothly. And I think the parliament will elect their leadership first. I mean, the speakers of the two houses in each house, and then, you know, and the deputy speakers, and then they will also put together a committee that will elect the president. So obviously, we will see, I think, a less main conflict even now between the prime minister and the president, because now the responsibility is out of their hand and it's in the parliament. So now I think it's time for the candidates will start, mainly trying to get the parliamentarians vote. So now, the attention shifts to the parliament, in my opinion. Thank you.
Stig, I saw you reacting to some of what Zainab was saying there. It looked like you wanted to jump in, so please go ahead.
Yes, I expect that rivalry to play out for the next week. There's going to be attempts to sway candidates in the direction of the various sides of this conflict and of the opposition and against Faramaggio. And in many ways, it is the candidates that are in the focus, but there's going to be a lot of rivalry the next week until the next president is actually decided upon. And we will see what happens after that. But it's going to be an exciting time.
Afiare, what are some of the main priorities going to be for the new MPs?
I agree with both that the responsibility now shifted to the new parliament. So even if the prime minister and the president does not agree or they have some issues, they cannot do much at this time. With respect to the priorities, I think the number one is for the parliamentarians to earn the credibility and the legitimacy that they wanted to lead this country to a new direction, because the process has not given that legitimacy that they needed. So that is number one. And that starts with selection or election of the leadership of the parliament, and also the selection and election of the president. So this is the first statement that the parliament is making to the Somali people and to the international community that shows how serious they are when it comes to this. That's number one priority. Number two, they have to understand that there is no time left here. There are a number of pressures. There is drought in the country. There is deadlines that are coming when it comes to the debt relief. There is institutional weakness that actually the polarization has further made it very fragile. So they have to act quickly. So there is no time. They don't have to take even one day off. And they have to focus and do the work. Luckily, the two leaders now, Absalom Rabanaad and Mohamed Ali Yusuf Gagab, they have shown some leadership by first day appointing the election committee of the speakers. This is a very, very good step. So I think there are a number of other legislative priorities that we will get into it, but these are the key priorities for now for the next 2 weeks.
Zainab, one of the things Afiare just mentioned there when talking about priorities for these new MPs was tackling drought. And I want to talk to you for a minute about the humanitarian situation, or rather, I should say, the dire humanitarian situation there. Aid agencies have said that more than 3.5 million people in Somalia need food aid, and that 1.4 million children face severe malnutrition. How much more dire could the humanitarian situation get if the government does not act to tackle all of this?
Unfortunately, I think, you know, even though the drought has impacted the whole, you know, Horn of Africa, it has hit the hardest Somalia, reason being because of, you know, a lack of strong institutions that deal with it, and coupled with the political, you know, processes and the electoral process that took the attention of the leadership rather than focusing on handling and dealing with the drought before it became famine. So I think, you know, it's very important that the parliament speeds up and electing, you know, the leadership, and as well as the president, and the president speeds up and selecting a prime minister, and then the prime minister to select the cabinet of ministers, so we will have a functioning government that deals with the drought. I mean, currently, I think the Somali people, both the diaspora and local, has been, you know, mainly supporting and trying to mitigate and help the people who have been impacted. But there hasn't been much in international community support, being because the government is not actually, the mandate has expired, and there's all these political conflicts going on within. So there was very little coming from the international community in terms of relief and those, you know, taking it to the people in actually dire need. So I think, you know, I can't emphasize enough how important it is that this electoral process ends, and, you know, there is a new government that deals with all this. And next time, I think they better plan better, because the droughts and the floods has been going on for quite a while. So they need to have strategies to plan for the next one before it hits hard. and also, you know, prevent whatever is possible to prevent it in terms of, you know, water, in terms of,
right,
of wells, in terms of how to deal with it. Thank you.
Stig, the swearing in of these parliamentarians, this happened after months of international pressure being put on Somalia to ensure that elections were completed, that a new president will be chosen. What has happened thus far, does this give the international community confidence that the political crisis in Somalia may be coming to an end?
Well, I'm not sure. As I said, I think the polarization will continue until the new president is elected in the parliament. There's going to be accusations that is also going to be traded. I think actually that the role of the new cabinet will mainly be to kind of create some kind of stability rather than to aid the drought, because I think the reply to the drought will be international or by the private Somali sector in many ways. It's a weak institutions we talk about here, unfortunately. So it's a relatively limited what they can do. But what they can do is to facilitate some kind of stability. But I do expect that we will see some rivalries and accusations still being traded between the various factions in the parliament that is going to build up in the parliament, in the new parliament. So my expectations to the new parliament is maybe not as large as the other speakers, but I of course hope I'm wrong. And we have to remember that the drought in Somalia today is set in a situation where you have a war in Ukraine that has increased the cereal prices and also grain prices quite drastically internationally. So it's actually harder for the aid to reach Somalia. There's also a lot of attention in to other wars.
Afiari, the new MPs that have been sworn in, are they up to the challenge of combating al-Shabaab?
Well, I mean, the MPs are only lawmakers, and lawmakers are just, they have a few functions that are actually related to securing the, creating a secure environment in Somalia. But the unfortunate part here is that the current MPs were selected based on how they would vote in the night of the election of the president. Nobody cared about all the other functions. And the parliament has deliberative functions, it has oversight functions, it has legislative functions. I don't think they even cared, those few people who hijacked the process and made the selection, didn't care about all of these things and what happens next 4 years. So what we ended up now is new MPs, about 62 to 63% are new MPs compared to, I mean, returnees. So you have about 30+% of the parliaments who are just returning. That itself shows that the experience needed is not there, but hopefully they will hit the ground running with the help of the international community and with the help of also the leadership, depending on the leadership that they select. So I would say when it comes to dealing with al-Shabaab, it is the executive department of the government, and that executive organ can either negotiate with al-Shabaab or they can forcefully deal with them. But what the parliament can do is just to prepare those laws that are needed. Mm-hmm. And I think also what they can do is perhaps regulate and bring the institutions of security within the rule of law. Now we have military that have been, or the SNA that has been politicized. We have the intelligence agency that has been politicized. So basically what the parliament can do is create an environment where the rule of law is supreme, and that they can just lead the country through that. The most important thing I think that the parliament needs to keep in mind is it is oversight role. Once it loses that, then the federal member states will kick in, and that's what happened. And that's not a good thing for the country. So they have to maintain their independence and at least mm-hmm. integrity when it comes to the running the country and as an oversight institution as a place where deliberation is and debate takes place, a place where good legislation is are made.
Stig, how much has corruption impacted the electoral process in Somalia and the elections as well?
It's quite open that money matters a lot in this process. It's quite easy to see. And that's why I'm a little bit more skeptic towards the new parliament's oversight functions that perhaps my dear colleague Afiara is. I do think that Somalia needs checks and balance, and I think federal states is a good way of having those checks and balances, in addition to a parliament that during the last period didn't show that they were functioning as a checks and balance. And it will take a long time before this parliament will function as a proper oversight mechanism. You can argue that even in the Somali Republic time, before 1969, the Somali parliament struggled with having this function. So they need a lot of checks and balances. We need a lot of checks and balances in the Somali system. And there are potential checks and balances there, so that can maintain some kind of checks against authoritarianism, checks against corruption, but it will be take time to fight corruption in the parliament, and it will take time to fight corruption in the Somali public sector as well.
Zainab, Somalia has a quota system now for female lawmakers, but women are still held back from pursuing these types of leadership roles. Some of that is because of cultural and social barriers. How difficult does it remain for female lawmakers in Somalia?
This electoral process, actually, I can say, has been very difficult and very horrible for women. Reason being, you know, we know there was a lot of, you know, violence involved. We know a female MP who was also a candidate was killed. Others were, some were beaten, some were harassed. So literally, you know, in terms when we are talking about gender equity, it has gone down this you know, round of elections or selections or whatever you want to call it. But we had 24% in the lower house, the outgoing, and actually last parliament, we can say now, the last parliament, the 10th parliament. Now, in the lower house or the House of the People, it has gone down to 20%, and it could even get even lower than that, depending on, you know, the number, the small number of seats that are actually hasn't been elected yet. So the quota, none of the houses have met the quota for women. The 30% of the electoral agreement has not been really implemented. At least in the upper house, gained, I mean, 2% or one seat, because they have a smaller number. I mean, the House is smaller compared to the House of the People. But the House of the People, women have actually suffered this time. And I think that has a significant impact on the delivery of you know, the parliament as well as the government in general. Because when you have 50% of the population or 51% of the population literally underrepresented, and I'm put into a difficult situation where, and Afiar, you know, mentioned, I mean, the number of, you know, people from the security sector and all these people who have been are currently in the parliament, it does have an impact on women, because a lot of people are worried how this upcoming, you know, how this parliament is going to actually function. But I think it's very important that they understand their role and responsibilities, because if they don't, then it's going to be a problem for Somalia and new actual challenges for the country. So, yeah, I hope the women will work together, the women in the parliament and in both houses, and become stronger and collaborate better to push gender equity. I mean, especially since they have suffered, I mean, this electoral process, and they know that it could get actually worse. They need to work harder.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thank you so much to all of our guests, Zainab Hassan, Afiara Ilmi, and Stig Jarl Hansen. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. For me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here in Doha, bye for now.